Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car. And I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness. Say my name, you
know who I am. Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No!
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It is Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man!
It is good to have you listening. And thanks to everybody who enjoyed their St. Paddy's Day weekend with some Hey Man Ale. I know it's not green beer, but it's really good beer. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate all the text and certainly the pictures that folks have sent us over the weekend. How was your weekend, man?
It's good. It's good.
No, it's good.
We had a great time. Tell you what, though, and I know that throwing a parade is difficult organizing and trying to get everything together. So I don't want to take a shot at the Atlanta St. Patrick's Day parade. But, Carl, they need more pipes and drums. We had the Batmobile. We had llamas. That's all fine and good. But, I mean, I know Savannah, you know, takes a lot of talent down there to their parade. But I can't believe in a city as big as ours with all the cops and fire departments around town, we couldn't find more than two pipes and drum bands. So that said, we still had a great – any excuse to be outside drinking is always a fun thing. So we had a great time. And saw a lot of good old friends and a lot of folks from the Hibernian Society and everybody else. But how was the event up at Meehan's?
It was great, man. Big shout-out to Derek and Lambay Irish Whiskey. We had a fun time out there. All the folks that came out for St. Baldrick's as well from noon to 4 and giving to the community obviously was tremendous. But, Mike, so many listeners, man, coming out. We had guys come in, a couple I met from Cumming. We had people from all over the city literally making their way, well, really to party at Meehan's, but to hang out and say, hey, and they always ask about you. You know how this is, right? People automatically think, like, we are connected at the hip. People coming in, what up, Dukes? Where's Bell? Mike's at a party probably somewhere. So appreciate everybody coming out, and a big shout-out to Georgia Distributing, man. I tell you what, those guys are crazy. I got to tell you, Rick at Georgia Crown and Sam, those guys are crazy. But thank you guys for hanging out. We had a good time over the weekend, and we're back at it today, man. We got a lot to talk about, guys. Mm-hmm. Jason Longshore is going to join us in 40 minutes to talk about Atlanta United. We know the NCAA bracket is set. The play-in games are Wednesday. The tournament starts Thursday. We're going to talk plenty about it. ACC gets three number one seeds. But, Mike, when you see Atlanta United play to a draw against Philly, a team without their star, you kind of scratch your head, don't you?
Yeah, and I know that we said on Friday, look, you know, we want to get to this first international break, which normally is a pain in the butt, but in this case, we want to kind of hit the reset button and see what coach can come up with this crew. And I got to be honest with you. I mean, more questions than answers now. I mean, Philly, without their best player, let an 18-year-old kid basically dance around and score. You know, Brad's totally flat-footed on that moment. We don't get any shots on goal. It's frustrating. Now, I know that Joseph hit the crossbar, and Barco made an unbelievable header. That was a beautiful goal. But the opportunities that we've come to be used to, and I was just talking with John Chukri off the air about this for the final segment. Carl, I used to make fun of soccer because I hated it for being so boring. And I got to be honest with you, this is some really boring soccer. Yes, I know we've been spoiled, and that's nothing to what Coach had to say about it. We've had a really fun, sexy style and attacking style, and I think, you know, we really enjoyed it. We brought a lot of converts in because of the style, and we look nothing like the style the first 2 years.
Yeah, I think, you know, last week when we heard Frank DeBoer talk about not making changes simply due to time constraints, that, you know, they didn't have the time to kind of implement some of the things that maybe he wants to. And now he will. All right. And I'm going to tell you, I'm anxious to see what happens after this 2-week break, this hiatus, to see what squad shows up. I'm with Brad Guzan on this, man. And after the match last night, he was like, listen, the intensity, and we still have to compete, but the chances, you know, we talk about this, possessions. And I'll use the example in football. All right. You only get a certain amount of snaps, right, in the NFL. And if the Falcons get 70 snaps and the opposing team gets 50, our chances of scoring more because we have the possessions,
right,
is increasing. Well, guys, we're owning possessions with Atlanta United, but we're not scoring. So something's not clicking. And, Mike, I got to ask you this before we let you hear Brad Guzan and what he had to say. Where's pity, man?
So I tweeted this
Where's
out.
Pity, man?
I tweeted this out yesterday and again today. I'll give you three options. He's either out of condition. He thought that coming up here as a South American player, because it's a better, you could argue that the elite teams down there are better than our elite teams, that maybe he thought he'd come Carlton MLS and it'd be easy for him, right? I don't know. I'm just putting this out there.
Okay.
And then there could be also the third option. He's just frustrated with the facts of the fouls in the international competition and or the coach doesn't know how to use him because the coach was doing some crazy stuff, and we'll talk about that with Jason coming up. So I think it might be a combination of all three. I mean, does he go to Argentina for this international break? Does Lionel Messi go, who are you? Or does Lionel Messi or some of these guys get with him, get his head right? I don't know. Because if you watch the highlights of this kid and you've seen the stuff he's done down in Argentina, it's unbelievable. And you're seeing some of the technical brilliance when he gets a chance to do it. Find a way to showcase him, to get him in space. This is what the coach should be doing. I know he's not Miggy, and Miggy's speed and the ability to cover so many. I mean, Miggy could take 3 or 4 steps and be down the field. I get that. Different kind of animal. But I am so disappointed with Frank DeBoer and this coaching staff. I don't know what they're doing.
I just think, and I said this to Bo, and by the way, Sam Tarley, Brian behind the glass today, our engineer, Bo Morgan producing the show. It's Dukes and Bell. And you're invited to text us as well at 404-741-0929. Mike, stars are stars. Stars are stars. You take any soccer star off of any other team and put them on another team, they're still a star. They still do things that stars do. I've not seen that. So I don't know what the long-term prognosis is going to be for PT Martinez, but I've not seen it. He's been an average player, guys. And for me, the expectation was a lot more.
But Miggy also had a slop. And guys, Miggy wasn't Miggy the first season. Took Miggy a minute. Miggy actually had some slumps the last year where he would miss, you know, he wasn't hitting his shot. These guys all go through this, but I'm saying.
But there was no expectation for Miggy like this.
But in the case of PT Martinez, we've seen what this guy can do. You know, I'm telling you, we've gone from the five stripes to the square pegs. It's square peg, round hole. There's so many things. We'll talk to Jason Longshore because all the soccer heads I'm sitting with yesterday say, I have no idea what we're doing. Literally no idea.
Yeah.
And then eventually they drop back to 4 defenders, 4 on the back end, if you didn't see it. It's so frustrating because you know you've got guys that can do things out there. Look at Barco. Barco, again, sluggish last year. Whatever happened with the suspension, Barco's been on fire the last few games.
Well, along with Miles Robinson, who was amazing. And again, I don't think anybody was giving him any run last year and giving him the recognition. Here's Brad Guzan, our goalie, talking about last night.
Obviously a bit frustrating in terms of all the possession that we had. Didn't create enough chances. And on the other end, at times it's too easy for a team.
I mean, 71%, Carl, 71% possession.
That's too much. That, for us to not have more shots on goal, to not have more goals, that's what I'm getting to. So, you know, if you're not a soccer fan, you get the football translation, right? If you're a hoops fan, if I get more possessions than you more times than not, I'm going to score more than you. That's why guys get it up and down as fast as they can to get more opportunities. Same thing applies to soccer. We're just not getting those chances.
Look, Tata knew we weren't a great defensive team, so he would get aggressive. He did some of the things that we saw last year, maximized the talent. Then he got a little more defensive-oriented in the playoffs, and it worked to perfection. And hopefully Frank DeBoer will show that same kind of flexibility. Right now, to me, it looked like throwing stuff up on the wall yesterday, and let's see what sticks. Okay, I don't know if you watch this. What Rometty is doing, lined up as a wide left midfielder. I don't know what Parkhurst is doing up in the front third of the field. It makes no sense to anyone. So, I mean, if soccer fans want to come at us, bring it. We'll throw these same questions at Jason. It really smacks of desperation. I don't know what he was doing. After we had a really nice run, 30 great minutes against Monterey, we don't build off that at all against Philly. Not one of the better teams in MLS.
We didn't do jack in the first half last night. I thought we were certainly better in the second, but there's still a lot of questions that remain.
Hey, and to your point, Miles saved our cheese. We could have been in an even worse situation if Miles Robinson isn't Johnny on the spot to basically save maybe two or three goals going in.
It was all hustle. I mean, that's what it gets down to. And maybe that's what Brad's alluding to with the intensity and coming out and competing the way they should. But there is some tactical stuff that plays here. But I also think that players need to play up to their capability. Now, I say that, and I talk about all our teams this way. Coach's job is to put players in position to be successful. You know, you can be a great player. You still, if I'm not hiking the ball to Matt Ryan, and let's say I'm hiking it to Sanu 30 times a game, okay, there's a problem. That play every now and then is great.
Well, to me, and I get it, Pitty still hasn't shown the form we were expecting, but it's almost like Pitty Pitty is also like Julio in the red zone with Sark. You got to give him the ball, right?
You do.
You got to give him a chance to do some things. You got to create. Find a way to get this man in space to do the things we know he's capable of doing. And again, maybe this rest, this break will help everybody. It was a strange start to the season. We've talked about it a million times, but I'm sick of excuses. There was a reason why nobody around the country or the world wanted Frank DeBoer. Okay? What did Alexi Lalas tell us last week?
He told us that it was going to be a challenge. We may end up where we want, but it might be a little bit more difficult than we thought. Why? Because I think Alexi knows that what we're going through right now with Frank DeBoer. Either way, guys, want to hear from you. You can tweet at us as well. Find the station on Facebook. Like us if you've not done so. 929 The Game. That's on Twitter as well. Mike is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, C Dukes. And this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. As far as the NCAA tournament, Mike, Duke gets a number one seed. You look at the ACC, and they dominate, you know, the one seeds. And listen, the ACC, we say this. When we had Josh Pastner in studio, Georgia Tech head coach, you know, it's no secret that you're playing in the toughest conference in the country. But everybody thinks, you know, Virginia is not going to have a relapse of what happened last year. Neither do I. And then you've got, obviously, UNC. So Virginia, Duke, North Carolina, and Gonzaga, the one seeds.
I mean, it's hard not to come up. We were just doing it, and I was joking around on Twitter, like, nobody cares about your bracket. That was tongue-in-cheek, by the way. But we were having the conversation during the break room with Deshaun. And by the way, Deshaun's running the TriCaster. We're back on what do we call this?
I don't know. We are?
The cameras, right? We're running the cameras.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we're back. It was on middays, and now the cameras are on us. So don't make any obscene gestures.
Wait, well, no.
And pull your pants up, for God's sake.
Yeah, I'm not used to this. I mean, here's the deal. A while back, our boss said, yeah, I'm going to put you guys on the stream. And we were like, great. You know, this would be an opportunity to sell some things.
And then literally he would tell us, oh, you know what? Can you not wear that hat? Can you please shave? Can you make better eye contact with your partner? So, you know what? Take the cameras off us. Because we're trying to do a radio show.
It's a true story.
No joke. You think I'm making this up?
No, it's a true story.
That's our boss, by the way.
And
so now we're back on it. So you can check us out at Watch 92.9 The Game. You can watch the tremendous interaction.
Yeah, whatever. Look at the camera right now. Hi. All right, sorry. I did not know we were back on.
So Deshaun, who writes our college basketball blogs, he's our guy. So I'm going to Deshaun. I'm like, UCF, ECU. He goes, UCF. I go, okay, good. There you go. It's a good guy to have. So I pencil that in. But it's hard not to go chalk. I'm going to go with Florida State because of the athleticism and the hot hand right now.
Homer.
Here's a problem with UVA. UVA is exactly like our 60-win Atlanta Hawks team.
Mm.
It's crunch time for UVA. Who's taking the shot? That guy. Who is, you know, I mean, they just don't, they are some of their parts. And let's be honest now, in the NCAA world we live in, sometimes it's the Jims and Joes, not the X's and O's.
It always is. And there's a bunch of reasons why a lot of people are not picking Duke. I will tell you why I am picking Duke when we come back. I will give you this round of it, or this little bit of advice when you pick your brackets. And everybody's doing it. So, you know, we talk about it, the bracket challenge, whether it's in your office or wherever. No team, do not pick any team worse than a six seed to get to the championship game. Just doesn't happen. And I'm going to give you an example when we come back why that's the case. So if you're picking a 13th seed to get there, it's not happening. It never happens.
Yeah, every year there's always some sad story. This year, Michigan State kind of got victimized and where they got placed. But for the most part, Carl, it's hard to come up with those upset specials you're talking about other than those 5-12s.
All right, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got a lot to get to. Jason Longshore is on the way. Plenty of things going on in and around the National Football League. At 3, it's our NFL Blitz. And some crazy stories to share as well. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Kilpatrick and Moore.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's one way to put it. A lot of folks feeling that way right now. About
making
Atlanta
animal
United.
Noises on the radio.
Jason Longshore is going to join us. 240. 240, yeah! Son. Be here. College basketball fans, how would you like a chance to win $1,000? You can always win $1,000. go to our contest page, 929thegame.com. Sign up for the 929 The Game March Bracket Challenge. Choose your teams to advance and participate with the best overall bracket. It wins a $1,000 Visa gift card, guys. Sign up right now. Pick your bracket on the contest page at 929thegame.com. Hey, I mentioned this, and this is just little tidbits, just little information as you fill out your bracket. But, yeah, only two championship teams have advanced or championship games have had any teams worse than a six seed in the last 33 years. So if you're going by the numbers, that screams that stuff just doesn't happen. The thing that does happen seemingly every year, except I think last year, was a 12-5 upset, Mike. And we were talking about it in the bullpen about some of these matchups, 12-5. So we're going to talk some college hoops coming up a little bit later on in the show and kind of break down what we're thinking about this tournament. But I will say this. I like Duke. And I know they've got freshmen and all these things working against them, and they don't shoot the three well. But you said it, Mike. It's about the playmakers. And they have obviously the best playmaker in the country in Zion. Mm. He has captivated college basketball like no one else. He makes plays. They're great defensively. Add Coach K to the mix and his experience. College hoops to me is still about coaches, right? You have great players, but it's still the great coaches that make the tournament. I think they've got all the makings to get to the Final Four and win it all. And I know a lot of people are saying, you know, with the freshmen, it's hard to pick Duke. But did you guys realize Duke and North Carolina have never played in the tournament?
Right,
against
each other? The thing, and I think a lot of people have said that's going to be the championship game.
It's crazy,
you know. And certainly the Zion coming back and being healthy, that just we all knew that was going to change the dynamic. And then they handle Florida State in the ACC championship. I think what's even more interesting though is a team which has been so good all season long. And I hate to say it, but I mean, it is what it is. Rick Barnes chokes. They gack. You saw it at Texas.
Did I?
To be so good and to be humiliated by Auburn that way. That's just – they are trending. You said this off the air as we were before the show. You said they're trending the wrong way right now.
They are. And I've just been sitting back. I don't want to take anything away from Tennessee's regular season, but I saw this at Texas for over a decade. Everybody always talked about, oh, it's another 20-win season. Wow, look at the talent Rick's got. And then you get in the tournament and you wet the bed. Tennessee is about to wet the bed. This is a year where Tennessee has the talent, Mike, to get to the Final Four. I don't believe it. And if it happens, I'll scream and holler and praise Rick Barnes, but I'm just not a believer in this. And so to be humiliated, as you said, against Auburn, and it was personal. You know the history there with Bruce Pearl and all that. That's fine. You still had to go play the game, and Tennessee's been a much better team all year than Auburn. And, Mike, that's the second loss within a couple of weeks here that they've lost to Auburn. So I don't know what you're thinking about Tennessee, and some people say, well, you know, they're going to be fine. The tournament is really all about momentum. You want to be playing your best basketball. And we're going to talk to Ron Hunter about this at 440 as you enter this tournament. Now, for some teams, guys, if you're a 16 seed and you're playing a one, they're just going to be better than you, right? And maybe you need a miracle. But, Mike.
Unless you're UVA and Tony Bennett. To my point, the sum of its parts team that can't have that clutch guy take over the game.
But you want to be playing your best hoops.
Right.
This idea that, you know, well, Tennessee's struggling and they'll be all right. Okay, so now there's a switch they hit when they're ready to turn it on?
No. Especially when a guy has a history, a guy has a resume where, unfortunately, this is it. You know, and he's had tremendous talent, and he's, I don't have to tell you, you remember from watching him at Texas back in the day. I think, you know, with Virginia, how do they handle that pressure when they get down? Because that's an albatross around your neck. I mean, the only place I saw a 16 seed beat a 1 seed, that was the Cheetah, Carl, back in the good old days.
Yeah.
Okay, that stuff just doesn't happen. So in the case of...
And that was a bikini contest, right?
Well, they were just naked. Oh. But it's just amazing to see where, you know, the ACC is... I mean, that's what makes it so hard for Pastner. You might have four teams in the Final Four, all from the ACC. You go back to the days of the Big East, Carl, back in 85, when they put three teams in the tournament. Just shows you the level of talent, how good it is. Look, Syracuse could give people some trouble. The 2-3 zone is always befuddling for some teams who don't see it on a regular basis.
86% of number one seeds advance to the Sweet 16. If you're thinking, oh, upset, think again when you talk about one seeds.
The George Mason thing was great. You know, that's 13 years ago now, right?
It is. But I'm just saying, especially this first weekend, when you get to the second weekend and we get to Sweet 16, well, it's a different conversation. First weekend, 86% of number one seeds advance to Sweet 16. That means they're playing next weekend. I'm not picking against these number one seeds. Last year was an aberration. Virginia screwed themselves. Mike, I don't think it happens again, but yeah, it's hard to pick against them. Let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, man, let's start first with, what was the noise you made earlier when you said? Yeah, that noise. It's a draw, guys. It's a draw.
Yeah, we got 2 points.
Yeah.
We got 2 points. I mean, we're talking in the standings. D.C. United, Columbus with 7, Toronto, Montreal with 6, and now we've got these 2 weeks to get our heads right, but it's the most confusing, funky start I think anyone ever anticipated for this team.
Here is a positive that happened for Atlanta United.
Ezekiel Barco, like he shot out of a cannon, to the top of the 18, to Nagby, top of the arc, left off to Lorenowitz, over to Gressel in the far corner. Here's his cross. Barco hits it! Score! Beautiful team goal by Atlanta United to pull even in the 70th minute.
Frank DeBoer had this to say after not getting the result we wanted.
1-1 is a very disappointed result for everybody who loves Atlanta United. But still, they can also be proud, you know, for the team who, you know, straightened the back also when they were 1-0 down and tried to force at the end, you know, the winning goal. And
all right, here's the numbers, guys. As we said to start the show, 71% to 29% in possession, but a lack of chances, as Doug Robertson pointed out in the AJC, and a lack of goals. We've scored just 2 goals in the first 3 matches. We scored 7 goals in the first 3 matches of 2018, and that included that horrible stinker we started against Houston. That's right. When we lost in the rain to DC United, we said, all right, let's just chill out. Let's not lose our heads over this. But now, to draw against an expansion team and a team missing their best player, that's inexcusable, man. We're the defending champions. Let's act accordingly.
We haven't yet. Not at least in MLS play. Meanwhile, we talked about ACC, the ACC getting 3 number one seeds. I want you to hear from Zion. Guys, we still want to get to Zion. I don't know if it will happen, but, you know, a lot of people are saying that it'll be fitting for Zion to finish the season as, you know, one of the most hyped players ever to come into college basketball, Mike. One season at Duke, win a national championship, and then a couple of months later be the number one overall pick in the NBA.
What's up, Duke Blue Planet? Zion Williamson here. We just watched Selection Show, and we're the number one overall seed. That's great news. And, you know, we got up early, had to get treatments. You know, it felt great because we woke up ACC champions, and now we're on to the big tournament. Let's do this.
Can they do it? Will they do it?
I mean, the guy, and everyone said shut him down. We're talking about strictly from a you know, looking at the monetary aspect of it, and again, big money in the NBA, he looks great. And not only does he hit all the stuff we expect him to hit, which is everything around the rim, man, how about the jump shot, too? Looks beautiful.
It is.
I mean, guys who want to say he's Sean Kemp, you guys are not watching this guy. He's more than that. And he will continue. His jump shot will only get better.
I agree. And he plays defense, by the way, which is something in the NBA. You come in playing defense, that's a huge bonus, man. Meanwhile, Georgia State, guys, I tweeted this out yesterday and, you know, just kind of having fun with it. But it's the truth. They've been the best basketball program in the state now for a while. And another 20-win season, Mike, they get an opportunity to go dancing. This is what we talked to Coach Hunter about all season.
Just love Ron. He's going to be in studio, does a fantastic job. And imagine giving Ron, with that dynamic personality, the resources of a bigger budget, a bigger program, you know, a bigger conference. And I'm not trying to make this about Josh. I mean, hopefully Josh gets it together at Georgia Tech. There is a lot of ickiness around Georgia Tech, okay? There's a lot of unseemliness around Georgia Tech. And luckily, Josh so far has been able to dance through the raindrops. I'd love to see a guy like Ron get the keys to a Georgia Tech and see what he could do. Couldn't do any worse.
Let's hear from Dave Cohen on WAOK.
5 seconds to go. Chisholm dribbling into the front court. Up to James Wall. Wall gets fouled as the buzzer sounds. That's your ball game here in New Orleans. Georgia State has beaten UT Arlington 73-64, and the Panthers are going dancing for the second consecutive year. The Panthers are headed to the NCAA tournament, the 5th in program history.
Great stuff, man. I was here back when Lefty Drizel took Georgia State out to Boise, and yeah. I think it was South Carolina they beat that year. So it's always fun to watch. We saw them beat Baylor under Ron Hunter. Now, Houston, though, this is going to be a tough one.
They're good. I mean, I'm not telling Coach Hunter anything he doesn't know. They are stacked, Mike. And when you talk about Houston's opponents, I just want to put this out there, who they beat this season. And remember, they were a top 10 team at one point. But they beat Cincinnati twice, LSU, Utah State's a tournament team. They also beat Oregon with Manute Bull's son, all right? And they got 3 guys that probably are going to be in the NBA. This is going to be a tough task for Georgia State. But at the end of the day, guys, this is what it's about. And Ron Hunter said as much when he after the game yesterday.
3 out of 5 years to get to the NCAA tournament, man, is really hard for a mid-major because, you know, we don't get at large bursts. No matter how great your year is, you got to win these type of games. So I am so proud of my young men and proud of the Georgia State community. Happy for the city of Atlanta. It won't be like this is our first time being able to play, so we'll be ready to play next week.
I said it was South Carolina. It was Wisconsin that Lefty Driesell and company beat out in the Western Regional. And then they lost to Maryland. Baylor, then they lost to Xavier under Ron. That was, of course, the crazy game where Ron falls down and RJ hits the shot.
Yeah.
Then first round last year, they lost to Cincinnati. Again, from the same conference you just talked about with Houston. So, I mean, they got like DeMarcus Simons. They've got an athlete. They got some guys who can make shots. So we'll talk to Ron about it coming up.
It's on the way, guys, in the 4 o'clock hour. If you've not heard the news, Julio Teheran will make his 6th consecutive opening day start. That ties him in with the modern era franchise record for a pitcher. Hall of Famer Warren Spahn was another guy. Started 6 straight Milwaukee openers from 57 to 62. We're going way back. Why is Julio Teheran starting another opening day?
Well, because Faulty's not 100%. They can't get the guys in the rotation where they feel comfortable starting Faulty on opening day. I mean, look, Julio does have a decent opening day ERA. It's just a little exasperating because we heard from Alex Anthopoulos. We know about the young arms, but no one is really rising to the occasion, save for Kyle Wright. They're not going to throw him out there on opening day. So Julio's got the experience. It's just he is kind of the definition of mediocrity, isn't he? He's just kind of like that 500 guy.
Yeah, 2.73 ERA on opening day. So to your point, and listen, hopefully he can give us a strong 6 innings or so, and we'll see what happens with the bullpen. Speaking of that, Darren O'Day and Minter, there's question marks as to when their seasons will get underway, and that's a big problem for me.
Yeah, man, and Mark Bowman tweeted out yesterday, Mike Soroka was doing live batting practice without any problems, and he says, like Faulty, he might be ready to join the rotation in the second half of April.
Yikes.
So, I mean, this is what I'm talking. I get it. You don't want to spend money. The Yankees are kicking the tires on Gio Gonzalez. Go get an innings eater. Will you stop with this paying the debt down, flexible spending? What does that even mean? You know,
it means paying the debt down and flexible spending.
go get an arm. You got to. You have to. And by the way, he's younger than Anibal Sanchez, who's the same guy. You know what I mean? You just need a dude who can give me a guy that can go throw me 6 or 7 innings, take the pressure off while all these young guys who shouldn't have these problems are having these arm problems.
Let's hear from Brian Snicker, our manager, guys, talking about our young arms.
So you need that depth. And I told the guys, like, somebody, you might all not go north with us, but you're going to pitch here. We're going to need them all. You know, that's the thing. I mean, you try and get as many guys stretched out as you can. Because as we saw, we used 33 pitchers last year. 10 guys made their major league debut on our staff last year.
All right. Julio, 6 consecutive opening day start. All right, guys, when we come back, we're going to grab Jason Longshore and talk to him about what's going on with Atlanta United. And by the way, you got a question for him? Tweet at us. We'll ask him. I mean, if it's a legitimate question, Mike and I will ask the hard questions next.
Oh, we will. We will.
All right, guys. It was a draw against Philadelphia, and Mike and I are sitting here scratching our heads still. We bring in our soccer guy. He is the analyst for Atlanta United. You hear him right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, Jason, I guess my first question is, all the possessions, 71.6% of possessions, yet the goals are not there and the shots on goal are not there. Why?
It's a good question. The penetration was a little bit better this time around. It wasn't – I don't think it was as good as Monterey was. I think the Monterey game, Atlanta United played better, was more dangerous going forward. It was much improved from Cincinnati last week. It's still not at the level it needs to be. Possession's great. And having that much possession is a great place to be. You have a much better control of the match. But when you're not creating more chances and you're not scoring more goals, one mistake can hurt you. And you were hurt by a simple mistake early in the second half, and you're running uphill after that.
All right, big guy, you got to help me out with these rotations. Now, I understand that, you know, the diamond formation, something different. But what is Michael Parker's doing where he was? Nagby is a winger. Lorenowitz up front. Explain why we're doing that.
Okay. Let's explain a couple things because there's a couple fallacies in there. Nagby never played out wide. That was in the graphic, but Nagby played as a 10 to start things. He moved into a 4-2-3-1 later, but he's played that role before. He wasn't playing a wing back, I guess would be the better way to put it. I've seen people go that way. Parker's moved to left back because he changed the formation to a 4-4-2 about midway through the first half because Philadelphia was a non-existent attacking on the right side. You were able to move pieces around because of what the match was giving you. I think that's something that you're seeing more and more teams do. It's something we haven't seen in Atlanta very much. It's something we don't see in MLS very much with a lot of tactical flexibility. It's something we've seen in these last 2 matches. And I think it's worked. Go back to the move to Parker's to left back. best chance of the first half was Parker sending a through ball up to Pitti Martinez. His cross to Joseph goes off the crossbar. That was the best play in the first half for me in the attacking side. But then you move it around to a more of a 4-2-3-1 in the second half, and I thought the team looked even better. They improved, in my opinion, in the attack as the match went on because of those moves.
I thought so in the second half. I did.
But where are the shots on goal, Jason?
I know. They're not there. And you needed Ezekiel Barco to come in and create some of that spark, some of that penetration. And let's go back and dissect that one a little bit. The play starts with him on the left. He moves the ball centrally. It swings around to the right, but Barco doesn't stop. And that's the thing that is not happening enough right now, the movement off the ball. Mm. You're not getting enough of it. And there's two different ways to do it. Barco showed one way with his goal. Go back to the goal against Monterey. It started with Joseph out deeper in the formation, pulling defenders with him, plays a 1-2 with Nagby. He gets in behind defenders. You're not getting in behind defenders enough. Right now, it's too easy for the opposition to sit, play a line of four or a line of five, play three or four midfielders in front of that, and make Atlanta try to find a way through it.
It's Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him on Twitter, at Longshoe, here on Dukes and Bell. What's the difference in Miles Robinson, or is there? Why is he playing as well as he has been playing as of late?
Confidence. I think it's as straight up as that. He's always had the physical ability. He's better on the ball than he was when he first came to Atlanta United. That's a definite. But it's confidence. And it started last year with Atlanta United, too. You started to see him late in that season be put into different situations where he would be paired up with a young center back next to him, and he had to take charge. Now, when you pair him up defensively with a player of the caliber of Rogelio Funes Mori from Monterrey, who's one of the best forwards in CONCACAF, or you pair him up with a different type of challenge like a Fafa Pico, a speedster, Miles Robinson's getting the job done. I think he's the best player for Atlanta United so far this season. I think he is a national team player for the United States very, very soon.
It's our man, Jason Longshore, guys. Follow him at Longshoe when you want to talk soccer, and he can answer your questions almost 24 hours a day. I mean, don't call him. You can just tweet him. He joins us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Jason, so what's up with Pitti Martinez? I put it out there yesterday. He's either out of condition, thought it was going to be too easy up here at the MLS, or they're just not getting him the ball because we know what he's capable of. The guy's a human highlight reel, but we're not seeing any of it.
Yeah, different league, different style. I think that's part of it. I think he's feeling the pressure as well. I mean, let's get in Pitti Martinez's head a little bit right now. He has the year that he did with River Plate. They win Copa Libertadores. He goes to become a legendary player at that club. A lot of money spent for him to come to Atlanta, a place he's never played in this league before. He hasn't played against teams like this before. It is a different style. That's part of it. I don't think he's fully fit. He didn't really have much of an off season because River Plate's run in the Club World Cup went pretty deep into December. I think that's part of it. I also think he's feeling pressure. I mean, he's being compared to Miguel Almiron, who is lighting it up in Newcastle right now. And Miguel Almiron is a completely different kind of player than Pitti Martinez. And that's tough. It's tough for him to fit into this team. It's tough for him. I think some of the comparisons and the reactions from the crowd. He's not Miguel Almiron. He's not that kind of player. He's not a guy whose game revolves around speed. He's a guy whose game revolves around skill. And right now, with him feeling that pressure, trying to make things happen, maybe pressing a little bit too much as well, it's not coming off. I hope this is a little break for him with the Argentine national team. I hope he gets a chance to talk to some guys with Argentina who have been through this, who have left the country, had to deal with these kinds of pressure situations, and have come through it on the other side.
Jason, we're talking Atlanta United, guys. We're going to talk NFL coming up in about 15 minutes. NFL Blitz is on the way. The goals we're conceding, they look easy, okay? And I want to put that in context. Mm. This is not, you know, 6, 7, 8 passes, and all of a sudden, boom, and these goals have looked easy that we're conceding. Why?
Sloppy. I'd say sloppy would be the word, maybe more than easy. The one against Philadelphia, it's a turnover in your own half. And that's the drawback with a lot of possession. You have to be good with it. You have to be good with it on the attacking end because you're going to have the ball a lot. You need to create chances. You have to be good with it on the defensive end. And Atlanta United plays in their own half a good bit. They want to build up their own attacks. When you play in your own half and you lose possession,
you're going to be exposed. You're going to have players who have committed to go forward. This has happened before with Atlanta United. Possession's a higher priority now. It's a higher priority to be better with it. They can't have these giveaways in bad spots on the field.
It is Jason Longshore on the WadeFord.com hotline. I mean, on the goal, Eric Rometty. And Eric Rometty's had an awful start to the season. Would you agree?
I wouldn't say he's had an awful start to the season. I think he's the one who looks the most tired at this stage. I would have loved to have gotten him out of there last night. And I don't know what the plan was before Jeff Lorenowitz had a foot injury and he had to be subbed out. Because Rometty, by the end, I mean, the guy's fighting for you. He's doing the best he can do physically. Mm-hmm. He was not sharp, and he had bad giveaways in the second half. And I honestly put it down to fatigue.
And he's my guy. I'm wearing the jersey. I felt embarrassed. Jason, one last question. We were talking about this with the guys in my section. What about, like, Barco and Shea running simple overlaps? Or, you know, I know we talked last week. Just going over the top. Is that just not what DeBird does?
Well, going over the top, I mean, Barco's not really a guy you want to go over the top with. The overlaps, that's part of a bigger picture about penetration and getting in behind. And when I'm talking overlap, the way I'm talking about it is, look, go back to the first half on the right side. We saw Tito Villalba in possession a couple times, and Julian Gressel made the run to the outside of him down the flank, and he didn't get service. And sometimes you're going to use that as a decoy. Didn't really come off well on that side. On the other side, Barco and Shea, Breck's movement, I thought he was a little tentative at that stage when he came in. I would have loved to have seen him go for it more and make those runs and try to get that service in. I think Barco's a guy is going to reward players for runs they make off the ball. Right. That's why I think more of the attack needs to go through Barco and Nagbe when he's on the field, because they reward the movement off the ball.
International break. How will it affect us for fans who are not familiar with this again, or will it at all? We've got to wait at least 2 weeks, right, until our next MLS contest. How does it affect us?
Well, you're looking at a week where Pitti Martinez is off with Argentina, and he's playing in Spain. He's playing in Morocco. Joseph Martinez has one game for Venezuela against Pitti Martinez in Argentina in Madrid. You have Tito Villalba with Paraguay. They're in the States. They're playing at Red Bull Arena. They're playing out at Levi's Stadium. They play Mexico and Tata Martino. Andrew Carlton is with the U.S. U-20s trying to earn a spot on their World Cup squad. There's reports that Ezequiel Barco will be called up to Argentina's U-20 squad, and Miles Robinson will be called up for a U-23 pre-Olympic qualifying camp for the U.S. You're going to have a lot of guys resting this week. You're going to have a couple of training sessions, a lot of off days. Next week, you get back into a regular flow. But you're not going to have those guys for many days ahead of the game in Columbus. I think it's the next week where you have that bye between Columbus and New England is where you see the biggest jump for this team forward.
We're not scoring a lot of goals. We understand there's a work in progress, but we're not going to see Frank DeBoer go back to what we saw Tata doing last year. We're not going to be seeing a version of a 5-3-2 or a 3-5-2, I should say. That's just not going to happen.
I'm not so sure about that, to be honest.
Okay.
I think, based off his responses, though, the move that I would think to see when Franco Escobar is available is to a 4-3-3. Not for sure.
Okay.
But he mentioned how he had to go to three in the back when he lost Escobar. I think if he has Escobar, he wants to play him as a right back. Mm.
Jason, appreciate you jumping on with us as always, guys. And you get a little break here as well?
Yeah, a little bit. The twos are off as well, so get to catch up a little bit.
All right. Great deal.
Again, it's just tough because we've been spoiled. I mean, and I don't mean that to be a Weisenheimer. It's been so good, and you know, man, the flowing style, and now it's flowing like mud.
It's starting to flow. I really think it is, but it's not where it needs to be.
No.
And by the time you get to New England, it needs to be there because you have 4 points from these home games that you have to pick up now.
Jason, thanks so much. Jason Longshore, guys, follow him on Twitter. And you can text us at 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hey, coming back, the Saints sign an offensive lineman, but they lose probably their best one. We'll tell you about it next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.